Welcome to the Akashic Reading Podcast, presented by AkashicReading.com, the place where you can learn to access your soul's wisdom, or at least stop digging the hole any deeper. And today, we'll be talking about how using imagination blocks Akashic work, while leaning into daydreaming facilitates it. Everyone has the capability to see visuals when working in the Akashics. This is hardware and software we come equipped with as human beings. However, not everyone will use the ability in the same way. This is the same as people being right-handed, left-handed, or ambidextrous. Yes, we all have hands, but how we're wired to use them and what we train ourselves to do with them is very individual. Some people are gifted with tools, musical instruments, or hand motions. Others have strength, agility, and hand-eye coordination. Most of us are capable of handling the rudiments, pun intended, and some learn workarounds to make up for a deficit. Years ago, I personally suffered from repetitive motion injury in my right arm from overuse. This is something I manifested, and it helped me to understand that while I can do something if I set my mind to it, overriding my body's wisdom is not the best way to go about things. So I worked not just to heal, but also to change my life so I wasn't overtaxing myself professionally and personally. At the same time, I trained my left hand so I could be ambidextrous. Particularly, I trained to be able to use my computer mouse and pointing devices left-handed. Part of being able to get visuals easily depends on what amounts to personality handedness. For those who are naturally grounded, slip into meditation easily, and have an easy time taking in volumes of information as data or story, then the visuals are going to be a breeze for the most part. For people who are more emotionally, musically, or experientially inclined, the visuals might be harder. This is because visual representations can cause us to experience feelings, but they don't require active feeling or interaction. For those who need to feel it to get it, visuals can be cold, distant, and dry. These people's visualization triggers can take more connection or meat, as it were, to get started. And as for kinesthetic people, those who think in movement, three-dimensional forms, or the interconnective Tetris of things, visuals are the most difficult. Dropping into the boring state of receiving pure data the way visuals provide is a bit like forcing a tiger or a dragon to sit still and listen to a lecture. It's not that they can't, but why would they want to? There are better ways to get things done, as far as they're concerned. So before labeling an inability to see visuals as a problem or something broken which needs to be fixed, first look at what you're working with. There might not be a problem at all other than you're trying to ignore the fact the peg is square, triangular, or tetrahedron as you pound it into a round hole it will never fit. There are two rather common stumbling blocks people experience with visuals in the Akashics: using their imagination, and discounting their daydreaming experiences. Imagination prevents the visuals from being perceived. On the other hand, as the daydreaming experience is often actually Akashic work, ignoring these for what they are, the visuals, creates the sitcom experience of calling someone's name and then walking right past them as if they aren't there. Both of these can be remedied with a bit of practice and focus in the same way we quickly learn to drive a car between the lane lines rather than on the shoulder of the road, as they are aspects of a skill and do not depend on innate gifts or super secret spiritual practices. The first thing to know about the Akashics is you don't need to use your imagination to work there at all. The Akashics is just as real as your couch or your car. If you don't have to imagine either of those to use them correctly, you don't need it for the Akashics. The door you'll see in order to access your Akashic room exists. It's not a metaphor, not an image, nor is it some hypnosis trick. It may look like something you've seen before, be like a door you've read about or seen in movies, or be something entirely different than the image you had in your mind. The concept, "I'm not imagining this," is easiest to grasp for those who see doors which are completely the opposite of what they expected. It's a shock to the system to see something you wouldn't have come up with on your own, even in a dream scenario. However, for most people, the door will seem familiar, match their expectations of what such a door should be, or just feel right. This isn't because they're imagining it to be this way, but instead the Akashics using forms which get the point across most accurately and directly. When discussing this aspect of the Akashics, I use the term vocabulary. While we may think of vocabulary as being about words due to our early school years when we memorized vocabulary lists, there's also such a thing as visual vocabulary. This is something artists have used for centuries. It's the reason we can easily understand complex actions when described via stick figures. It's also highly developed in media, so we can get a ton of information from a simple setting or a movement of the camera. And of course, there's the symbolism in dreams, the archetypes of mythology and therapy, let alone all the gods and goddesses and spiritual pantheons. We each of us have a personal visual vocabulary, which provides us entire concepts or even layers of information and meaning with one simple image. As one of the main points of Akashic work is for us to gain wisdom and understanding from the endeavor, all the beings of the Akashics pull from this vocabulary to communicate with us. Think of this the same way you would if you wanted to speak to someone from a foreign country. The initial communication between you is sorting out what language to use at what level of complexity. Once this is figured out, even if it's a hodgepodge of gestures, pictures, and facial expressions, communication starts to flow. When working in the Akashics, if you're trying to imagine what's there, it's like asking to have a conversation, then ignoring the other person entirely and having a monologue in their general direction. On the other hand, because the Akashics is using your personal visual vocabulary, it can seem like you're imagining everything or it's all made up. This can be frustrating if you're trying to find answers to an important question or trying to move past a block or a long-term persistent problem. However, if the student sticks with things and repeats the lesson or meditation more than two or three times, they'll start to notice a change. Images, experiences, and beings will stop being quite so familiar and start taking on visuals which are more specific and precise to the message or the meaning of things. It becomes noticeable items and settings are no longer the way the student would have imagined them to be. Students can speed up this process easily by the use of their hands. When in the Akashics, you have somewhat of a physical form. Usually, this looks like you or a slightly improved version of you, and so you'll have hands. Reaching out in the Akashics, touch whatever it is you're curious about, whether that's a piece of furniture, an animal guide, or a structure. I wouldn't recommend just reaching out and touching beings like librarians, as it's considered just as rude there as it is here. The information we take in through touch resists imagination. We may imagine something is smooth, but then touch it and find it's textured and warm. Let your fingers do the exploring, and you'll quickly realize how little of this is about what's going on in your own head. Then there's daydreaming. Most, if not all of us, learned about daydreaming as children. Whether it was in school when we were bored and couldn't wait to get outside, or at home when we had a moment to think of what-if things, or if we had the time and energy to engage in creative play, we learned to open our right brains to worlds and stories and events which were different than what was going on around us and eminently more fun. Daydreaming is something which can fall by the wayside once we're adults because A, we have the ability to make what we want happen come true to a certain degree, and B, we need to focus on the logistics of life such as buying rice and beans as well as getting the next job or the next rung on the corporate ladder and so on. Not only this, but we're taught daydreaming isn't something we should do. It's a waste of time, leads nowhere, can become a distraction or even a mental health issue if we live more there than in our regular life. However, daydreaming has many positive benefits to everyday life, including helping us problem solve old traumas, navigate through current situations by role-playing them for us, showing us what we're really interested in rather than what our brain says we should be, and being a way to connect more deeply with our soul's wisdom and guidance. And often, people who do Akashic work and seem to not get the visuals often are. The issue is not their skill, but their expectation. The term visuals can give the impression our normal sight will go away, replaced with something similar but a bit more psychedelic. However, the reality is the information is coming in daydream form, which is a frequency our brain hasn't listened to in a very long while and is disregarding. If you haven't worked with your daydreaming skills in a while, you can jumpstart them with a bit of repetitive physical motion. Walking, swimming, biking, jogging, or even just swaying in place, if done long enough, will get you there. It takes about 15 minutes for the body to drop into the daydreaming state, so choose something you can do for a bit longer than that. In any chosen activity, the rhythm, like the rocking of a chair, is calming and soothing, while the action requires the problem-solving logic functions of the brain to focus on the task at hand and keeps us from injury. These two factors set the conditions for the meditator to drop into what is commonly thought to be a daydreaming state. Getting the mind from one state to another takes an average of 15 minutes. For most people, this transition will be an experience of what the Buddha described as monkey mind, where the problem-solving aspect of the person's mind not only starts working through whatever is most pressing at the moment, but also seeks to take advantage of unscheduled thought time to consciously process bigger issues or pending emotional matters. However, these are usually chewed through to a resolution, dead end, or pause within that plus or minus 15 minutes. At the same time, the rhythm of movement has created a relaxed state. Commonly, the transition from problem-solving into daydreaming has occurred when we move to investigating what-ifs, replaying conversations and social scenarios, or even playing out what our life would be like in the future. We've been taught daydreams are just figments of our imagination, which exist only in the completely sealed-off safety of our minds. We're fascinated by stories which play on the question, but what if they weren't? This has become a long-lasting trope in fantasy and YA stories. Just think Wizard of Oz or Alice in Wonderland, for example. The thing is, our daydreams do have reality as a means of communication. In childhood, we unlearn and forget this, and therefore come to think of our heads as closed systems. We think things only get out or in our head when we act to make it so. To see something, we must look. To express something, we must act. As an aside, this is one of the main reasons why subliminal messages are illegal in advertising in the U.S. They play on our erroneous assumption we control what gets in, thereby getting messages in under the radar without our consent or acknowledgement. Now, this is not to say our being taught the notion of a closed noggin is wrong. It's not, and in fact has a purpose. We're meant to focus on this life and not be distracted with extraneous things. In preparing for this embodied life, we agreed and even desired to have this brief respite from constant and instantaneous communication so we could explore ourselves fully with minimal disruption or negative consequences. So, thinking we're a closed system is a good thing. However, it's not really true. As we knew when we were children, our daydreams are a conversation between the embodied reality we're experiencing and the greater reality of the world beyond this microcosm. This is why some people will have what they consider serial daydreams, where the action seems to keep going on after they've returned to daily life. It's as if the daydream continues while they're away and they're dropping in at a later point already in progress. More than likely, it is, and they are. This is why deep and important truths about ourselves and the world around us seem to unfold from our daydreams. It's not all about our subconscious, if such a thing actually exists, but an ongoing conversation happening only marginally in linear time. What I'm saying is, daydreaming is an Akashic meditation. What you experience isn't all in your head any more than what is said in a conversation over dinner is completely controlled by you. If you want to check this out for yourself, next time you're daydreaming about something, try changing some random aspect. Try changing the setting, the flooring, and the ceiling or the sky. Try changing what the people are wearing. You'll find either you can't, or the change is momentary and returns almost immediately to what it was before. Working consciously in the Akashics is a skill, but one which we all have the ability to achieve. Whether it's not using our imagination and allowing the experience to unfold without unnecessary effort, or reawakening our daydreaming muscle so we can receive what's flowing to and around us, we have the ability to incorporate Akashic guidance and wisdom into our daily lives. And that's all the time we have this week. If you're interested in knowing more, check out my website, akashicreading.com. Thank you to my patron of honor this week, Lourdes. If you're enjoying this podcast, please consider supporting it by subscribing on Patreon. You can join in patron-only classes, see all my other offerings, and get regular updates about what I'm working on at patreon.com/dairyuktena. Thanks. Bye.